Adversity? Bring it. The struggle? I welcome it. Snooze on life? Never that. I am Dave Regina, and this is the No Snooze Podcast. Come on. Welcome back, No Snooze Podcast, episode 189. As always, I'm in the booth with the big three. We have Tommy, the tank top, Pomatico, Claudio, the voice, Valenzuela, and I am Dave, the body, sitting next to a bigger body, Regina. Tommy Pomatico is a partner and general manager of the Body Blueprint and head of sport for Conquer Athlete. Tommy has been professionally coaching athletes for 8 years. He's coached well over 5,000 CrossFit classes in addition to thousands of hours of personal training. In addition to in-person training, he's been coaching online since 2020. His clients are a 50-50 split between lifestyle clients and athletes looking to pursue competing in the sport of CrossFit. Very grateful to my brother Vincent Maselli on the connection. Tommy, welcome to the podcast, bro.
Dude, great intro and what? Great nickname. It's funny because everyone that knows me always knows I'm going to be in a tank top.
You're pulling up in a tank top.
As soon as I can be in a tank top, I'm in a tank top, man.
Dude, I like that. You stepped out of the car, put the tank top on. Back was looking phenomenal, by the way.
Thank you.
You do a lot of pull-ups?
You know, yeah, in CrossFit, that's a staple, man. Yeah. So tons of them. I was like, should I put the tank top on before I drive over? I was like, I'll just do it when
just
I get
there.
Just
do it in the street.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Had all the neighbors looking out the window like, who's that guy with the big back? That's usually me walking out of the car.
I know.
I'm telling you, man, I've been doing a lot of performance guys lately. I mean, I had one of your best friends, Will Carter, on. I got Jake Zemer. I got Pat Damiano.
Yep.
Well, you guys are really fit, man. I might have to change my name. I got to lose the body because you guys can't keep coming in with bigger bodies.
Nah, bro. You keep that. you deserve that name.
Where did your passion for fitness begin?
Oh, man. So, yeah, really when I decided that I wanted to get into fitness, I was super young. So I was like 13 years old. And honestly, I was just an overweight kid and I just didn't want to be the overweight kid anymore. And I had three older cousins who like I really idolized and they were super into working out. They always looked good. They were great, pretty great athletes, like had great looking girlfriends. Like I was like, OK, like these are the guys I'm going to go to. Mm-hmm. So long story short, they just started taking me to the gym, showing me the ropes. And that's really where it all began for sure.
And where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Hawthorne, New York, which is like the Mount Pleasant area, near Valhalla, like that. Yeah, Westchester County.
Yep.
And, you know, small town, small schools. They're all right next to each other, which I always thought was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, just a pretty normal childhood in terms of that regard. Like, you know, having fun with friends, playing sports, video games, the whole nine. And yeah, so fitness for me, other than not wanting to be like the overweight kid, like, just loving football, you know, and seeing what those guys looked like. I was like, man, like, and WWE, even though like I wasn't super into it, I definitely was kind of into it. But I do remember looking at them, like guys like Triple H and John Cena and being like, yo, how do you look like that? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that always sparked something in me, too.
And were you an athlete coming up?
Yeah, I wasn't like a spectacular athlete. Like I wasn't a terrible athlete by any means either, but like I didn't stand out on the team. Like I was a role player. I could definitely hold my own in whatever position. I played football. I loved basketball. I was a solid shooter. Played some defensive end in football and on the line. Nothing crazy, but I could definitely get the job done, you know.
Mom and dad in the household?
Yeah, mom and dad both in the household. Great parents. Dad's very old school Italian guy. Mom's a super nice Italian and Irish lady who, you know, cooked me tons of food. And that background is, you know, partially 100% why I was very overweight. You know, everything in that culture, everyone who's Italian knows like food is everything, right? Like no matter what you're doing, food is like the most important thing at the place, like where you're getting it from, how much you got. There's always too much. And that was something that was really challenging for me to like have to balance as a 13 year old kid,
right?
You know, as well.
Siblings too?
Siblings. Yeah. So I have a younger sister. She's 2 years younger than me. We're we're friendly, not like we never had any bad things, but we're not like this super tight yeah, kind of thing. Just like a normal brother sister relationship, in my opinion. Looked out for her. Amazing cook, loves, you know, arts. She's amazing with that stuff. So if I ever needed something done, you know, that's who I was going to. If I ever need a post workout meal and I didn't want to cook, that's who was doing it for me.
Yeah.
And then my cousins, who I'll definitely talk a little bit more about, were like very, very close to me. They all lived right around me. When I was growing up, they lived right next door to me. They were much older, probably like 8, 10, 13 years older than me.
Gotcha.
So they were very much like big brothers to me, but idols as well, for sure.
Yeah. Is there a specific lesson or takeaway that you implement in your own life from one of your cousins today?
Yeah, so they all impacted me a ton. So it was Frankie, Danny, and Scott. My cousin Frankie was the oldest, Danny the middle, Scott the youngest. Frankie was like a super nice dude. Definitely like the most like grounded in terms of like making responsibility wise and things of that nature. And like everyone seemed to really like him because he was super nice and things like that. My cousin Danny was a really great basketball player. He was the one who really, really helped me with working out. He would drive me to the gym every single day and drive me home. And that was super, super impactful for me. And every day, 5 days a week, you know, because we lived right next door to each other.
Right.
And then my cousin Scott was definitely the most impactful in my life. He was my true idol. Like, I wanted to be him. Amazing, really great high school football player. Good looking dude. Always, you know, I would tell people I'm his cousin, and like, you know how people are just like,
yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah. And that was really cool. I was like excited to tell people I was related to him. Uh-huh. And yeah, so they were all very impactful in a different way.
Mm. Now, why do you think that is, though? So like, I, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking of my older cousins and, you know, close to them, but like they were kind of beating my ass when I was younger.
Yeah.
Why did they take such a liking to you? And I guess such a care to make sure you were good when you were so much younger. Like, so when you're 13, he's 21. So I just like, that's pretty unique that a 21-year-old is like, you know what? I got to go take care of my 13-year-old cousin, bring him to the gym with me. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Our families were just super close. You know, it was my mom's side of the family, three sisters, and we're all just really close. And them living next door to me was super. And I was like the next one. There were three of them, and then there wasn't another baby until me. And I guess I was just kind of like the young one of the family that they all wanted to kind of like be a part of, because they were all old enough to actually like have some kind of impact, right? You know, like when you're like five and your baby cousin, like there's no impact there, right? Like you can't really do anything. And I guess they all kind of went through life and were like, hey, this is like how I went and did it, and this is the mistakes I made, and these were the things that I would do, and these are the things you should be thinking about, you know?
And you think it really changed the trajectory of your thought process?
Absolutely. They all had a lot of impact on it. And so the biggest thing that I'll just get into is that like the youngest one, Scott, he passed away when I was really young, when I was 15. And it really changed like my, like, it just impacted my life a lot in a way that like I just saw the world very differently. And the death was super hard because I'll just be very open. He killed himself. He jumped off the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Wow.
And so it was a shocking because when I thought about suicide, especially at that time, right? You got to think now that's like 14, 15 years ago. No one was talking about mental health, especially in men. And I actually do remember learning about it in a health class, and like we watched videos on it, and I was like, damn, that's like pretty rough, you know, like thinking about it. And then shortly after he passed away, and just understanding the grief behind that is super long. And like, but my in perception of like suicide was like goth. Right. Like that's kind of what it was like. Right. Or like people were just like sad all the time and like just like looked a certain way. And like my cousin never looked like that. You know, he's this athlete. He's this like guy in the gym, like always dancing, making people laugh. Like he was like the person in the room that kind of controlled the energy. And so I just couldn't grasp what the hell happened. You know? Yeah.
That's a pivotal moment in your life.
Yes. Very pivotal.
Ooh.
And so fitness was a way for me to cope with that. That was my out. my outlet for sure.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, bro.
Yeah. You know, it's a big part of my life and fitness. So I knew I had to get it out there. And rather than like us spending so much time getting into it, I was like, let's just cut to the chase.
I appreciate that. And, you know, having these conversations, I genuinely like to get to know the guests, you know, myself.
Yeah.
So when you have an understanding like that, it kind of, it brings things full circle to really make sense as to why you are the way that you are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the topics that I wanted to talk about later, but it's a good time now, is that how old are you now?
27.
So you're 27. So you're a young, successful guy in this industry. And, you know, at the age of 26, I was actually appointed assistant commissioner, which was the youngest commissioner in the state of New York at that time. And I used to like love and hate that people were like, oh, yeah, you're so young. You're this. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but I have experience. I have life experience. I'm here. But something that I really can see in you is that you've made really good decisions in your life.
Yeah.
And it's very evident just from a brief conversation with you that I think became your foundation. Even when I was talking to you at HPLT and Blueprint, and I was asking you about the drinking, you were very clear about it and you were very, very locked into it.
Yeah.
So it's something I really, you know, envy in you, and I think it's great.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the running joke is like I'm the oldest 27-year-old people have ever met. And I am. I'm like a grandpa. You know, I wake up at 3:45, I go to sleep by 8:30, and I don't do a lot.
Right.
You know, and it's okay.
That's okay.
And I love it. So, you know, it's different for a lot of people, but that's
100%. All right, cool. So with that though, have you found that you've had to separate from certain people that you were close to coming up? Because I know for me, there was a quick shift. You know, I was in my 20s and I was loving partying. I got married when I was 24 years old. Not married anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, I loved living that lifestyle of being in the clubs and partying, this and that. And I had a certain crew of best friends that I would do that with. Then when my life basically went to shit, you know, and I needed to make these changes, it almost was like, yo, Dave, you're not with us anymore? Like, and it's like, I love you, but I have to love you from a distance now. Is that something that you've had to deal with being your age?
Yeah. So same time, 13 years old, let's just call it 15 years old, whatever. I've had the same best friends since I'm five, all the way through to college, like best friends, played sports with them, did every life experience possible with these kids. That's just how my town was. Like, I didn't make friends as I was in middle school, then new friends in high school.
Right.
No, same kids, 20 of us, all really, really tight. And then within that, of course, like cliques within that group, I had three really, really, really great friends. I love all of them still. But yeah, I've definitely separated myself from them, and it has nothing to do with I love all of them.
Right.
I'm just not into the things that they were in. I mean, I started drinking when I was 13 years old. That was the first time I got drunk. I drank a Four Loko in Pleasantville, New York. And that's when Four Lokos. Yeah, bro. Chugged a Four Loko, was smoking a Black and Mild, and threw up everywhere for about 2 hours straight.
Yeah, wow.
And that's when I got caught, you know, and that's when I started. And that was just what my friends and I like to do. We like to play sports, but we like to party.
Mm-hmm.
We had older cousins. We had older siblings. So like we knew that's what people were doing.
Right.
We knew it was fun and it was cool. Right. That was our perception. So we were like, let's start doing it now. But, you know, and so high school was about playing sports. And then on Saturday night, going out and having a good time wherever that was, just walking around town or someone's house because their parents were going out to eat for 90 minutes, you know, like it didn't matter. We were making it happen.
Yeah.
And that was my life all the way through high school. And then honestly, I went to the West Virginia University, and a big decision was because it was one of the best party schools in the country.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, dude, like I'm going here. I visited my best friend, one of my really good friends, older sister. She went there. And I was like, this is nuts. It's got sick football, sick tailgates, sick clubs, you know, like it was just like, and it wasn't like West Virginia isn't like it's a bunch of kids from West Virginia. Not that there's anything wrong with that,
right.
But it was just, you took a bunch of kids from New Jersey and New York that love to get hammered and put them in a fraternity. That's where I was. You know what I mean? It wasn't.
Yeah.
So it was just this environment that I was like, oh, I'll thrive here. And honestly, I did in that environment thrive, but it wasn't actually going to make my life better. So yeah, I went to West Virginia, 17 years old. I go to school there, join a fraternity, you know, going through all the stages of college. And then at one point, I'm probably 19 years old. I'm living in the frat house, which is this massive house, 30 bedrooms, all your own bedroom, own bathroom, you know, and having the time of my life. But I didn't go to a single class for like a semester straight. Just like, I'm a year and a half in, and like, I'm just like, and something, and it was the first time in my life where I wasn't working out. I always worked out, and for some reason I stopped working out. And then something just kind of hit me where I was like, I'm not supposed to be here. This isn't what I'm meant to do. And that's when a lot of things shifted for me.
Now, was that like a faith? Are you a man of faith?
I do believe in something bigger.
Like, did you feel, and not to get into, you know, Jesus or your religion or anything like that, but were you feeling, because you said you had a moment where you're like, I'm not supposed to be here. Did you feel something on you? I'm curious about that.
It was more of like, I just woke up and I was just like, what the fuck am I doing right now? Like, this isn't me. Like, this isn't who I want to be. You know, like, I just, it was fun. And then it got to a point where I was just like, this is really dumb.
And did you leave at that time?
And so, yeah, I called up my mom and my dad, and I was like, I'm leaving school. Like, I'm not finishing the semester. I'm coming home Thanksgiving break, and that's it. And she's like, you got to finish it. I'm just like, there's no point in me finishing this. It's like, I haven't been to a single class, like, and I'm not going to do well here, you know? And that was like a really low point in my life. I got into a lot of trouble there too. Like, it wasn't just like I was having fun. Like, I was having fun, but also got in trouble with some stuff that that was not good. And like, people I was hanging out with and associating myself with definitely probably wasn't great either. And I just knew I had to get out of there. Yeah.
This plays even more into what I was saying before about, you know, you making these good decisions now. It's very clear now as to why this all happened. So when you come home now, what did you start doing in terms of taking action to change your life?
So the one thing, I was like, I want to do CrossFit. I was like, the reason I found out about CrossFit was because my high school football coach when I was a senior was like, I'm doing this thing called CrossFit. His name was Steve DeMeglio, great dude. He was like, you'll love this. You got to try it. So senior year of high school, I do try it. But it was summer of college and I'm going away and no one was really doing CrossFit at the time. Like, you couldn't find it anywhere necessarily. So I couldn't do it in college, but like something was just like I loved it. And I was like, I want to do that. I really do. And one of my buddies from home was going to the Navy and he was doing CrossFit at Will Carter's brother's gym, Tommy Carter. And I was like, I want to do that with him. So like, I knew that's what I wanted to at least do. So I came back home, but at this time I'm smoking cigarettes. I'm smoking weed 5-6 times a day easily. You know, and like, I knew that there was going to have to be some change with that. So I came home and I stopped smoking cigarettes. I was like, I can't do this. Cold turkey, done. And it was super easy because I was doing CrossFit and it's like, they don't mix, but I was still smoking weed, you know, and I'm going to school too. And I'm doing better. But yeah, that was one. The first thing is like, I want to do CrossFit and I have to stop smoking cigarettes.
I know those are huge. And I think that that right there. So we had a personal professional development dinner last night through Action Cultivates Excellence, which is something that Sean Degnan and I started up. And again, it's just men's personal professional development. And this guy was, you know, sharing a story as to how, you know, he used to be in the gym. He used to work out. He used to do all these things. And now he just can't do. He just can't do. Like, life is happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, my conversation with him was like, just pick two things that you can do.
Yeah.
And for you, it was like, OK, I'm interested in CrossFit and I'm going to stop smoking cigarettes. Yep. And I think at times we get a little bit too caught up in thinking about the 150 things that we need to change in our lives, when really, if we could just focus on two things for 30 days, you'll make significant changes. And then what that's going to do is provide you the motivation and the momentum. I think momentum's huge, right? CrossFit, momentum goes together.
Yeah.
But the momentum of life will then carry you in that positive direction. Is that something you agree with?
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, like, that's something I talk a lot. We'll get more into this about like my lifestyle clients. Like, I call it habit stacking, where it's like, dude, we're not trying to accomplish 25 things in one day. Like, let's just start with one habit. And that's, you know, not eating out every day. Right. And then like, okay, we nailed that for a month. Like, let's add another. And we just keep doing that. And that really turns these small wins into this massive win. Right. That's what I do.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So I want to pick your brain a little bit on the, on your expertise. I was diving through your Instagram. There was a lot of things that you said and the way you explain things, man, again, and I just had Jake Zimmeron, who you know, is a big figure, but breaks things down very simply for people to understand.
Yeah.
And I think in the CrossFit space, you're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned the three buckets for everyday athletes. And by athletes, we're just talking about everyday people versus CrossFit athletes. You focus on intensity, volume, and movement selection.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So intensity, volume, and movement selection. So CrossFit, the first thing I would think about is like movement selection. When people think about CrossFit, they think about all the crazy movements that are involved in
it. That's what I think about.
Yeah. Yeah. And trust me, at the sport, what people need to understand this is that there's a methodology that is intended to improve people's lifestyle. And then there is a sport of CrossFit, right? Similar to like biking, where you can go on a bicycle ride and improve your life versus like trying to compete in the Tour de France, right? Where that's completely different.
And it can be unhealthy at times.
Extremely unhealthy, right? Anything that is sport is unhealthy. No matter what anyone tells you, when you're trying to compete in a sport, it's unhealthy. It's the complete opposite of healthy because you're injured, you're messed up. But that's what you're trying to do. So it's okay, you know? So movement selection, right? There are movements in CrossFit that you have to be able to do if you want to compete in the sport. There's just no doubt about it because you're going to get tested upon them. And these movements require, you know, you to be very athletic, very mobile, very strong, very fast. The average human does not need to be able to do that in order to improve their lifestyle. And most of them won't be able to because of all those factors that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I just don't make people do them, right? And a really easy example is doing like a squat snatch where you pick the bar up and put it over your head and land in a squat. Like that is craziness for the average human,
it
right?
It looks dangerous.
It is, and it can be. It really can be, absolutely. So I don't program them because there's just no reason to take that risk, right? The last thing I would want is like, you know, mom of three who has a full-time job to get hurt and not be able to do very basic things as like put groceries away, right? Like that's not what she's there for. She's there to make her life easier. And that's what it's all about. Mm. So when it comes to movement selection, I think about movements that people can do and should do to improve their life, not the opposite. Mm. Then there's volume and intensity. So the next big thing is volume. In CrossFit, you have to do a lot of volume because it's just like any other sport. The more repetitions you do, the more practice you have at it, the better you're going to be. Simple is a basketball player. You're going to shoot hundreds, if not thousands of free throws to get better at free throws. CrossFitters need to do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reps to improve their movement quality and efficiency so that they can be better at the sport. So the volume has to be high for these competitive athletes, right? Where the average person doesn't actually need to be like this super efficient monster at the sport of CrossFit, right? Like they just need to be able to do it safely, right? So the amount of volume they need to be able to do in order to be successful isn't nearly as high. So I'm taking into consideration how much they're doing on a weekly basis. Is this going to put them in a place where they could become injured? Mm. Is this going to be in a place where it promotes recovery? And that's where you have to find the right balance. Mm. And then lastly, intensity. Mm-hmm. Intensity is a huge component of CrossFit, and it's actually what makes CrossFit amazing. And it actually changed fitness forever. People realized what intensity was the minute they took their first ever CrossFit class. They thought they worked hard, took a class, and they were like, I've never been halfway here, right? And that changed fitness forever. And people started to realize that they need to push a little harder than they were in the gym. You see the average person that goes in there that doesn't know what they're doing, do a few curls with weights that's way too light. They kind of chill on the elliptical a little bit and call it a day, and they don't see progress year after year, right? So intensity is important, but just like anything else, too much of it can be a detriment. Mm-hmm. And so you have to make sure that, yes, you want people to lift pretty heavy so that they can get stronger. Yes, you want people to get their heart rate high so that they can get more aerobically fit, but you can't do all of that in 1 week as high and as much as possible because you're just never going to be able to recover from it.
Well explained, man. Are you looking to elevate your brand with captivating visuals and immersive sound? Look no further than the home of the No Snooze podcast, Kai Visions Productions. Your go-to destination for cutting-edge audio and video production. At Kai Visions, we don't just create content. We create experiences that leave a lasting impact. From podcasts, YouTube variety shows, sleek corporate videos, to attention-grabbing promotional campaigns, our team of experts is dedicated to turning your vision into reality. Choose Kaiyi Visions for a production experience like no other. It's time to make your brand known. Contact us today at kaiyivisions@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at Kaiyi Visions. Kaiyi Visions Productions, where audiovisual excellence meets innovation. Now, back to the Epi. In terms of heart rate, when you're talking about intensity, right? Just for my own knowledge here, like, so you see some of these videos of like even Will when he's toasted, right?
Yeah.
And his chest is pounding.
Yeah.
Boom. The heart is just moving.
Yeah.
Where is the heart rate when you're talking about intensity? Because, you know, when I'm working out, I get up to, you know, 175, 180, which is pretty high. But like, are these guys in like 200? Like,
That's a great zone to live in for sure at times. You know, use a guy like Will Carter. Will Carter is just a different breed, you know, like, many other athletes similar, not many, but very few actually, but they can push themselves to a limit that most people are not willing to go. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you have to live there if you want to be good in the sport of CrossFit. You can't go there all the time, 1,000% of the time, but you do have to be comfortable being there because that's what it takes to be good at the sport. And yeah, they're up there. They're,
dude.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times like I'm even running my little mile and a half. So I'm a bigger guy, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that I'm terrible at, well, I was terrible. Now I'm phenomenal.
Okay.
Right? I'm pumping myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm a great runner.
Yeah.
So I hated running. It was just terrible. Like, I don't like it. So now every day I'm up to a mile and a half as like a warm up. And I'm pacing now at like, I'm under 10 minutes. My best is like 8 minutes. And that's where I'm starting. But I'm at 160 by the end of that mile and a half. And I'm still like struggling to breathe a little bit. So yeah. I'm like, damn, man, like, should I just keep pushing at that time or do you let the heart rate come back down to then accelerate? What's the best way to be moving throughout your workout?
So many ways to go about this, but each workout should have just a purpose, right? So my recommendation to you actually wouldn't be just like, it's a great starting point. Like I run a mile and a half every day and then 2 miles. It's a great point. But then there should be specific workouts that are trying to create different adaptations. So some workouts are about, hey, I'm trying to improve the pace that I can run at 140 beats per minute. And then there's certain workouts where it's like, hey, I want to improve the speed that I could go at 180 beats per minute. And you work all these different types of zones. And that's really what creates this amazing engine, improving speeds at all different types. So for you, what you want to do is, you know, I would recommend trying to hold a pace at a certain heart rate. Let's just call it 150. And you want to try to hold that pace for as long as possible. Once it starts to tip over, it's okay. What you could do is just start to walk until it comes back down. And then once it comes back down, you start running at that same pace and keep maintaining that pace at 150 beats per minute until you get to a certain distance that you want at it. That's how you improve speed at a certain heart rate.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I'm a man of action, so I'm going to implement that.
Try that.
I'm going to get back to you. I love that. All right. So you mentioned the everyday mom that's, you know, putting the groceries back. And it reminded me that, like, you know, there's a lot of parents out here that are trying to get fit that don't really have time. Yeah. And our range of listeners range in age, our sweet spot is 24 to 44.
Cool.
Go-getters. They don't snooze on their life. They're attacking.
Yeah.
But, you know, time is a big thing. Can you explain the concept of what e-moms are?
Yeah.
And how the everyday person can kind of incorporate that into their life?
Yeah, e-moms are really, really cool. So e-mom stands for every minute on the minute, which just means that there could be a few exercises, one exercise, but regardless, there's going to be a certain amount of work that you have to complete with inside the minute. So a really easy example is do 15 squats in the minute. And then once you finish those 15 squats, you rest the time remaining on that minute until you go again. So a workout that's like, could be really powerful would be like every minute on the minute for 10 minutes, you're going to perform 15 burpees. So with inside that minute, you do 15 burpees, rest the time remaining, and you do that for 10 minutes straight. Mm. Yeah.
CV, you hearing this? So this is something that, like, even for Claudio, he's been open about, like, you know, I'm getting back into the game and this and that. But in the morning, it's tough, right? So if he were to carve 20 to 30 minutes out, but you had a strategy to work out every minute on the minute where you're doing 10 to 15 reps of an exercise. So what you're doing essentially is you're minimizing the rest, or you're controlling the rest period to then get back into a working pace.
Yeah, and you're controlling the amount of time you're going to work out for as well, right? Rather than like, I'm going to go run 3 miles, I'm going to run as far as I can in 30 minutes, right? That's just kind of the difference. And that's why CrossFit's also very efficient for a lot of people. And why it became so popular is because it's an hour. You show up, you get your warm up in, your workout in, and then your cool down, and you get to go on with your day.
And that's it.
Yeah.
How important is mobility, and not just for CrossFit, but just for everyday life?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important for a lot of people. It's definitely a place where, because mobility, I think a lot of people view mobility as flexibility, which it's a part of, but a lot of mobility is actually having strength in certain positions. A lot of people have the flexibility to put their hands over their head, but then they have pain when they do something overhead. And that's most likely going to be like a strength issue. There's something occurring in the body that's weak, and something is then overcompensating because of that weak group. And that's why they're experiencing pain. So when I think about mobility, I'm thinking more about strength in positions and getting stronger with something over your head, or stronger in the bottom of a squat, or stronger when you're lunging, right? Mm-hmm. So mobility is extremely important for that reason, taking care of your body, because a lot of people force things that shouldn't be going on, and that's why they experience pain in the first place. Mm.
And I can tell you this. So I did hypertrophy training for a very long time. I've also been in the field of sports performers. I was a performance coach for years, all the way through college and into my early 20s as well. So I completely lost my mobility. I can coach you up on mobility, but for me, it was terrible.
Yeah.
So recently I've linked with PD, Pat Damiano, and he has me basically doing a mobility warm-up every day that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And specifically, it's for my back, my spine, my neck, and my hips opening up. And I can't tell you the difference in training. I mean, it's undeniable.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really just a 7 to 9 minute mobility warm-up that has literally changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, so it's extremely important, no matter what fitness level you're at.
Yeah, that was a tough part for me when I first started CrossFit. I was very into bodybuilding. And then like they were asking me to do all these crazy positions. And I was like, I can't get there. Like, I'm just not there. Right. Like putting a bar over my head with a wide grip was like, I couldn't even do it. And then like, I was like, okay, let me start working on these things. And like, I just felt different the way I could move. And like, you know, just everything was just easier. And so, yeah, I definitely recommend it.
Mm. For somebody looking to get started and just build muscle, right?
Yeah.
To get a little healthier, what's a good recommendation on how many days they should be lifting weights and doing cardio?
Yeah, I would say 3 days of lifting and 2 days of aerobic work is great.
3 days of lifting, 2 days aerobic work.
Yeah, okay. So I'd go like lift, aerobic work, lift. Okay. Or you can go lift, aerobic work, lift, rest day, lift, aerobic work, rest.
Okay, now on that rest day, when... And this could be very specific to me. I have a problem taking days off.
Yeah.
Like it screws me up mentally. I don't like it. I feel like a loser, for lack of a better word. Like I feel unaccomplished.
Yeah.
And it really, at times, I think is a detriment to me because I'm always trying to push myself. And then I'm like, you know what? Today I'm just going to walk 3 miles on the treadmill and I'm going to get in the sauna for 30 minutes. Then I'm walking on the treadmill and I'm sprinting I feel like, you know, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
When should you really take a day off? And is it necessary from your perspective, if you were to look at somebody like me, do I need a day off per week? Because I don't do that even close.
Close. I would highly recommend it. You know, rest is, I know, bro. I don't, and that's the biggest thing. Like, I work with a lot of CrossFitters, man. Like, CrossFitters love to work out. They hate taking days off. Like, do anything to not take a day off. It's getting Will to take a day off is like, he'd rather me like chop off his hand. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. But all of a sudden people start performing better. They start feeling better. They don't have high injury risk. Like they look better. Like all these things really happen when you start taking rest days because you're able to recover better. Mm-hmm. So like the biggest thing I think for high level athletes or people performing really high, when they don't take days off, they're just always kind of operating at like 80%.
Wow.
You know,
you're speaking to me.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Yeah. So I feel good. I don't feel great.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. And that's why. And so people start taking a rest day and all of a sudden they start hitting PRs and they're getting stronger and they're like getting faster and they're like, what is going on? And I'm like, you're just able to recover and push yourself now, you know, because I just made a whole video on this. But, you know, you in order to create adaptations, you have to apply stress to the body, right? You have to give it a lot of stress, but you can't recover from that stress without rest, right? So you need to have rest in order to get better because it should look like this: stress and rest, stress, rest. And you constantly apply more stress. And that's how you get better and better.
All right, I gotta digest that one. All right, I'm gonna try. I gotta be honest with you. Is there something that you struggle to manage in your own life? So I'm listening to you, and I'm impressed, man. You know, the way that you're breaking things down, you're able to articulate your craft extremely well. But that's in fitness and wellness. Is there an aspect of your life that tends to be a bit harder for you to have this exact, you know, locked in clarity, or are you like this all the way throughout your
life? It's more so that I don't balance my life really well. So it's all work, no play. And at this point in my life, like, it's okay because, like, I'm young and I'm very excited and ambitious, but, like, I could imagine that if I had kids, this wouldn't work, you know, because I don't give time to anyone but myself. You know, I have a girlfriend, but she's one of my athletes and I give her a lot of time in that regard. And, you know, we have time together at night before we go to sleep for an hour where we watch TV and stuff. But, like, I wake up, go to the gym at 5 a.m. You know, I'm there at 4:40, and then I don't leave till, you know, most days like 6:30.
Wow.
And I'm just there, and I like being there, and I like working, I like learning, like, and I like just doing my thing, you know. There's no, like, I don't care about sports anymore. Like, I used to love the, like, I used to be a diehard New York Jets fan. Season tickets last year, went to one game, you know, like, I care less if they win or lose, truly. I'm not up to date with what people are talking about. Like, there's just no balance in my life, really, at this
point.
And
that's something that you're actively working on? And if you are, what are you doing to actively change it? Or are you just like, you know what? When I turn 30, I'll worry about it.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it right now. Good. People keep telling me. And I'm like, you're right, probably. But, like, I do think this is, like, an essential stage in everyone's life where they're kind of just doing it. Mm-hmm. And then they'll eventually realize that they, like, need to slow down somewhere in order to improve in other areas, you know?
Now, are you of the mindset of, like, I'm going to say yes to everything and every opportunity now? Because you hear it all the time, and it's like, you got to learn to say no, which is something I agree with when you're at a certain level. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to grow and, you know, establish yourself and create this business, you need to be saying yes to pretty much everything and diving into opportunities. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I used to be a diehard yes person, just a yes man, you know, yes, yes, yes. And now there's things where I'm like, no, I already did that and I know what that outcome is. I'm good on that. Right. That's more so what it is now. And that's only from saying yes to everything and understanding, like, what I do like to do, what I don't like to do, and what I think is necessary.
When did you turn it on in terms of growing your platform? And you've really gained a positive reputation in this space. What did you do to double down on whatever it is? Are there maybe one or two things that you can highlight? Be like, yeah, that was definitely something that was essential. I recognized it and then I doubled down on it.
Yeah, what I realized what was lacking in the online coaching space was, like, giving communication, like giving real feedback and also giving true individualized coaching, right? Like, a lot of people just give everyone the same program and assume it's going to work for everyone, or I don't even know if they care. Assume it will if they care, it will. I was truly giving individualized coaching. What is going to improve this person's life or this person in the sport? And actually taking the time to do that. And that mixed with giving real feedback and real communication and creating real relationships was what kind of set me apart really quickly in the CrossFit online space.
Now, was that COVID based? Because when I was reading the bio, it was pretty much 2020. Was that like, okay, now I need an additional, like, revenue stream. I need to stay active. I need to figure things out. What was it?
Yeah. So in COVID, what happened was I just got extremely fit. So, like, most people got super out of shape. I was working out with Will every single day, twice a day. You know, I was working too. We were doing online classes. So every day I was in the gym doing a live online class. We recorded, posted to YouTube for all our members. We gave them rowers. We gave them barbells, dumbbells, the whole nine.
You gave them rowers?
Everything. How? The whole entire gym was gone. They came, picked it up, and took something home. It was really cool. Wow. And we were able to provide a really good service. And that's why at the time the gym I was at, the retention rate was super high through COVID. And then I was doing that. And then me and Will were just throwing down every single day, really, really hard. And I got super fit and I was like, okay. And, you know, one thing that happened was I was, like, shredded and people were like, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? And so, like, I just started help giving meal plans to people and giving them macros. It was really simple. And then that's when I kind of started, like, the online, but it wasn't, like, something I wanted to crush. It was like, this is just a nice little additional something to go along with what I'm doing. And then, like, there was a point where I was like, this is kind of the only thing I want to do. Because one of the tough parts about being a coach and trainer, like I was coaching 28 classes a week. I was doing 15 to 20 personal training sessions a day. I was in the gym all day. And I was like, if I want to, you know, take a week off, like, you know, you lose money from the PT. I was like, how can I make sure that like I can actually still have money if I do want to go away? Mm-hmm. Right. And so I was like, okay, well, this could be a great way of doing that. And that's kind of what stemmed it. Mm. Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. And it's simple too. What's the most challenging part day to day for you? So coaching is an extremely high energy, high pace. People rely on you. People pay you to motivate them. Where do you get it from within on days that you wake up and you don't fucking got it?
Yeah. You know, truly, like, as for a very long time and probably still, but everything was like, I'm doing this for my cousin. Like, he just had such a impact on me. I was like, you want to make him proud, like, just do it. Do the things you don't want to do, because that's why you're doing it. And it was just to, like, there was a lot of bad that came from him passing, you know, with inside my family. And just like, and I was like, let's you be the reason that something good came from it, even though it was such a bad situation. Mm. And so that's why you got to do it.
If there was a message that you can give to him specifically, what would it be?
I understand why. That's it. I get it. Times can get tough, and shit happens. And, you know, it's like some people just got to go. And that's all good. Mm. It's all good.
Hmm. One of the most powerful life lessons that you've learned, and I guess who'd you learn it from specifically?
Yeah, one thing my cousin Scott told me was like, doesn't fucking matter what anyone thinks about you. Like, doesn't matter. And that was hard for me to grasp when he first told me. I was probably like 14, 15. Most people, that's all they care about is right. What other people fitting in, mm-hmm. This and that, right? And I think that's the truest thing ever. It's like, if you're so consumed and worried about what people are going to think about you, then and you're not able to be your true self because of that, like, that's a real issue. Like, people are going to like you or aren't going to like you no matter what. Mm-hmm. You might as well just be yourself and be the best you can be at being yourself, because that's where you're going to be the most successful. And allowing people to dictate that is a big, big mistake. Mm.
Yeah, it's really hard to do, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an easy thing. Like, even for me, I constantly evaluate, like, even stuff that I'm putting out with a thought of, oh my God, what are people going to think about it?
Yeah.
And now I'm at the point, thankfully, that it's just a thought. So, like, yeah. I still know, okay, you have a thought, but I have an action. So I actually do the opposite. And yeah. Some of the best advice that I've honestly ever received is when you have an initial thought of something negative, do the exact opposite in that moment. Mm. So for example, if somebody comes at you and you immediately want to attack them back verbally, instead, it's like, no, I'm going to do the opposite of that. So I'm going to try to kill them with kindness, right? It's something that even I coach up my employees with, you know, in terms of the coworker relationship. Yeah. And it's something that's really, really powerful, extremely hard to do.
Yeah.
But when you learn, for me, like, it's almost like me playing a game out here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing the opposite of what my negative thought is trying to tell me. So yeah. I like gain confidence in myself, because behind the scenes, I'm like, this person doesn't even know that I'm toying with them a little bit. And it's an internal game that I play. But, you know, if I'm being honest with you, man, I still think about things all the time and what people, you know, think about me. And it's something that, although I don't let it cripple me, the thoughts are still there. Is that there for you?
Yeah, even when we're having this conversation, I'm talking about my, you know, what I was doing when I was younger.
And you're like, damn.
I'm like, you know, people don't think of me like that. Like, I tell people mm-hmm. that and they're like, you did that? I'm like, yeah. And like, that's why I am who I am, though. And I'm okay with it, you know, but like, yeah. And I definitely think about it, but I think about it and I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Right.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening. Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening is an experienced teeth whitening salon where you can get up to 7 shades lighter with just a 60 or 90 minute session in a professional and relaxing setting. They offer the most superior product coupled with the highest quality of customer service available to get you instant results. Whether you have an important event to attend, such as a wedding, birthday, anniversary, interview, or you are just unhappy with the color of your teeth, this LED light technology helps whiten your teeth fast and easy. At Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening, they understand how important your smile is to you. And speaking from personal experience, you'll be guided by highly efficient staff in a relaxing environment to reach your desired shade. Let them know you're a friend of Dave's from the No Snooze podcast and connect with them at HudsonValleyTeethWhitening.com or on Instagram at HV Teeth Whitening. Now, back to the epi. Action for you is huge, right? Like you take action every day in your life. It's very clear. What are your habits? What do your personal habits look like? Like, besides obviously the working out, what are the other things that you're doing to, you know, live this life that you're living?
Waking up early has been the most impactful thing on me in my entire life.
So AKA not snoozing on your life, huh?
Yeah. Oh,
there you go, man.
Yeah, man. So like the first time I had to wake up to coach a CrossFit class at 4:30 in the morning, I was like, wow, this is wild. You know, like I never did that. I was like 19 years old. And I was like, this is what I have to do, though, you know, and because this is what I want to do. And ever since that day, it's just been a staple in my life. And when I woke up at 4:30, I was like, I'll never have to wake up earlier than this. And now, you know, it's 3:45. And I'm like, I don't think it'll ever get earlier than this.
Why 3:45, bro?
It just is. Like, you know, well, I coach a class at 5 a.m.
Oh, okay.
And I have found through practice that waking up a little extra earlier and having some level of like just hanging out for 10 minutes and not like wake up, grab food, get out the door, drive the class, and then start this like super like high energetic class. It allowed my mind to kind of be at ease and like it allowed my day to just feel smoother. So waking up, even though I'm losing some sleep there, it just felt like the day went off better.
Do you nap throughout the day at all?
No,
you don't.
Never.
So when I saw this was me though.
Yeah.
When I was big into the performance game and personal training specifically, I would literally go in my car, man, and I would set a timer for 20 minutes. Yeah. And there's actually a study. There's a great study out there. Forget exactly where it's from, but I think it might be astronauts. They did a study with astronauts and them taking naps, and they found out that 26 minutes of a nap is actually a sweet spot, that it doesn't hinder anything cognitively in your brain. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I've seen that. It's like you just want it to be like under 30 minutes,
yes,
over 10 minutes, I think. Yep. Anything more than that isn't great for you.
Right.
That's what I've heard. I don't know the literature behind it.
Yes.
But yes, I have heard that.
But there is a big difference. I don't know, CV, you want to jump on. There's a big difference between you actually, and again, it's funny that we're saying the snooze button, but you know, there's a huge difference from when you wake up and then you actually hit the snooze button again. So in that moment, you hitting that snooze button and trying to fall back into the sleep, even if it's 4, 5, or 10 minutes, actually does damage to you.
Mm.
But if you're up for an extended period of time and then you take a 26-minute nap, it doesn't have those effects. There's a big difference there.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I just want to be clear on that. CV, the voice, talk to us, my brother.
Well, I was thinking about something as you guys were talking. I am not a napper at all. I've never been a napper. I can't even nap. I struggle with this concept of napping. One of the things that I do know that happens to me, and I don't know if this is the reason why I just don't like this, any kind of shut eye I may get, I can't just bounce back and wake up and be like, oh my God, I'm refreshed. So if I take a 20-minute nap, a 15-minute nap, a 3-minute nap, I'll wake up groggy. It'll take me a really long time to get back into the routine, which is why I don't like it. And my body doesn't need it or doesn't ask for it. So I've never really been that person, but I've obviously, who hasn't napped at least once in their life?
Yeah.
Just by because you're tired or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then waking up from that has been like terrible. So I know I personally don't like it. I don't want to do it just because I know that that's going to happen.
Mm.
Is that something that happens for those of you that are nappers or that used to like napping? Because you say 20 minutes and you were like, good, right?
Yeah.
And you can wake up right away and go?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would have to. I'd have no choice because I have a class starting. So I would get to a point where my fatigue in my body, and this is, again, prior to me really learning about hydration and the electrolytes that I really should be consuming throughout the day. So, like, you know how it is, man. You're burning a lot of calories when you're coaching athletes specifically because you're sweating just as much as they are because you're in there with them. So that was happening to me, and I would feel my body that was, like, really, really shutting down, and I couldn't perform at the level that I wanted to perform at. So if I had a high-level athlete that was coming in, specifically like a basketball player or something, I would go into my car and I would set that alarm for 20, 25 minutes. And then I would wake up. And I don't know if it was just mental, but I was ready to go because I felt like I couldn't go anymore. I needed these naps.
And your body responds.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I mean, if I take a nap, I'll be useless for like 3 hours.
I sound like an idiot, though, that I don't know which study. Like, hold on, let's do this in real time. Let me Google like 26-minute nap.
Yeah, no, I've definitely heard that by a ton of people.
It is how to power nap like an astronaut. Let's go, Dave Regina. Let's go, baby. Yeah, it was a 1995 NASA study found that pilots who nap for 26 minutes experience up to a 54% increase in alertness. That's
all right. Hold on.
That's data right there.
Now I got questions.
The big data.
You're talking about astronauts.
Mm-hmm.
So you just said we're a pilot or something?
Yeah, but an alertness is huge.
No, I got you. But so think about the difference between maybe what they're doing and what you're doing. You exhaust yourself physically. And I'm sure mentally too. Mm-hmm. Their stress or their exhaustion is probably 90% mental, right? So I can understand maybe a nap working better for those guys.
Well, so it actually says here, and a 34% increase in performance on the job compared to those who didn't nap. Improved memory and creativity, which would be huge for performance. Decreased reaction time, better heart health, increased focus and concentration, lower blood pressure. So listen, take naps, guys.
Right? No, I mean, sleep's like
it's a science.
The greatest thing you could do for your body, like by far, over anything, you know, getting enough sleep. And so like I wake up at 3:45, but I don't go to sleep at 11 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? I go to
You're knocked out by nine.
I'm knocked by nine, dude. Knocked, you know, like completely out. So I'm still getting over 7 hours of sleep every day. And like that is something that has changed for me a lot. When I was younger doing this, like I could go to sleep whenever and wake up at 4 a.m. and feel fine, honestly. You know, 10 o'clock, 10:30, get 4.5 hours of sleep, didn't really care, you know. Now that would never work.
No.
Never.
Do you watch TV, you said?
Yeah, about an hour every night.
Okay, like before bed?
Yeah, I have to turn off. You know, that's my way of turning off.
And
like,
you do it with
otherwise,
your girl?
Yeah, with my girl. Otherwise, I'll just be on my laptop and like coaching people.
You're working.
I'll work. So like I have to do that. And like it's still even hard for me to do it while the TV's on. Like she'll get mad at me. So I close it and just put it to the side and try to take my phone away as best I can, too.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I watch TV for about an hour just to turn off.
It reminds me of my old co-host, Mike Pirelli. He used to say that, you know, trash TV was like his downtime. And he really loved it. Like he would just watch bullshit shows.
Yep.
And he's like, yo, I'm not thinking about real estate anymore. Like this is just, it's great. It's awesome. And he's like, I'm looking at this trash TV here, but I'm not worrying about anything in my life. And he's spending time with his wife and kids. So it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
How the hell do you balance the online coaching now, though, with the magnitude of the business that you have in person?
Yeah, so I don't do as much in-person business as I used to. I have like 3 or 4 in-person clients and I coach a few classes a week. A lot of my in-person responsibilities now are, you know, ensuring that we're getting enough sales in the gym in terms of memberships and making sure coaches are doing what they're supposed to be doing, just trying to improve it in other ways, which has been really fun for me. It's very different than what I was doing for a long time. It's a great growth period and Vin has given me the opportunity to do that, which has been really cool. So that is why I'm able to balance both the online and the kind of like my in-person job. It's like, I'm not on, like, that's what a lot of people don't understand is when you're coaching, like, it's a different hour than when you're sitting at a desk.
Right.
You are on for that 100%. Hour, bro. 3 hours of coaching is insane, like insane. So I'm able to balance it for the reason that I'm not turned on 8 hours a day coaching anymore, you know?
You mentioned Vin again, couldn't say enough great things about him. What's one lesson that you've learned specifically from him and even the way that he like carries himself?
Yeah, no, Vin's great. Vin, I think the biggest thing that Vin has just done for me is just given me so many opportunities. That's really what it is. So just understanding that there's so much more to the world, you know, than the bubble that we all live in, because we all have this like perception of what life is and all these other things. And there's so much out there. There's just so much room for growth and opportunity. And that's really what I've seen by working alongside him.
Yeah, something I've noticed about Vincent specifically, man, is there really are people at that successful level that really want to help.
Yeah, no.
You know, like, because a lot of people, you know, you don't need to help. You really don't. And it's probably a headache at times. Like, you don't need younger dudes or women texting you like, hey, man, like, how can I learn from you? Do this or that. Like, it you kind of have to be passionate about it, you know? And Vin specifically, man, has been one that's just been so receptive and open and has a he's got a great heart of just wanting to really help, which I think is so unique because you don't have to do that type of stuff. You know, it's a lot to try to help somebody.
Yeah, I would agree 1,000%. That's kind of what I thought about when I said opportunities, too. It's just like, he's trying to help me get any opportunity I can, or like how I can get, you know, that job or whatever it is. Like, and then all our employees, it's the same way. Whatever they need help with, he's like, this is how I would do it. And they're like, they walk away from that conversation like that was the greatest thing ever. You know?
So I don't know if he's going to like that I share this, but at one of our development dinners, he said, and he said, for the future, so the staff, if you're hearing this, all right, don't jump down his throat yet. But he said he wants to get to the point to where every single job in his organization is a six-figure job.
Yeah.
That right there tells you what type of individual he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, really wanting that for people and really putting that out there. And I believe he's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously it might take some time. I don't know what the finances are looking like. That's a lot. Six-figure jobs all around is a beautiful thing. But just to have that as a goal of his.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, he perceives success very differently than I think a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And he's very patient in achieving it. He doesn't care about these. Well, he cares about them, but short-term markers are just short-term markers. You know, he sees the big picture better than anyone I've ever met. He's able to, you know, just look at things and go, okay, like, this is where we want to get to. And like, this is how it happens. And he can see a roadmap, you know, 10 times faster than I could even like think about putting it together.
Mm. On that same token, I saw a great clip of you and Will. Who again, we just had on the show, you know, he's just built different.
Yeah.
But, you were dapping each other up. The clip kind of gave me chills, man. I was like, wow, like these guys are brothers for sure. How important is it to have people in your life who believe in you and vice versa?
Yeah. It's funny. You just framed it like that, but you know, there was a moment when I was doing CrossFit, it was like a weekend. And he was like, I was coming in from a run into the gym and he was like, he just looked at me and he said, if you keep doing this, you're going to be really good at it. And like, that was the switch for me to be like, I'm never stopping this. And yeah, man, I believe in him. I think as much as he believes in me, we're really close, obviously. And it's so impactful because you're not going to have a lot of people who believe in you or like care to believe in you. And he's been someone from day one that's just always believed in me. And he's constantly giving more belief in myself and has always told me that I could pretty much do anything that I kind of want to do. And so having people to like remind you of that in your life, not even by telling you, but just by being there, has been really impactful for me.
And, you know, I'll just echo that. You don't need many of those, which is great. Like, you know, I used to have, and again, I have a large circle of friends, right? But my best friend circle and those who like influence me on a daily basis is a mini circle.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, to people and understanding the evolution of like relationships and where you're at, you just strategically implementing the people in your life that are doing the things that you want to do really is going to take you to the next level.
Yeah.
Sounds cliche, but it's not.
It's not.
Like, because it's a strategy and it's a play and an intention on you to say, you know what, I'm going to pick out these 2-3 people. I'm going to pour and water that relationship, nourish that relationship to make sure that they then, you know that you're for real and believe in you. That for me in my life has been so significant to the trajectory of where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to always be like the least smart person in the room. You know, like whenever I felt like I was the smartest in the room, I knew it was my time to go. And I haven't felt like that in a while, which has been nice just being surrounded by the people I'm surrounded by at the moment between Vin and Brian. It's like, you know, I have they're just filled with so much experience. They're, you know, they're so much older than me and they just like have been so successful for so long. And I'm like, I have nowhere I need to go. I've had opportunities in the past year that, you know, were dream jobs of mine 5-6 years ago that I've turned down because I'm just in this place right now where I'm like, I can't leave it. Like, it's too impactful. I know there's so much more to pull from too. So I couldn't agree more. Mm.
Why do you do what you do on a daily basis? And what is it strictly to impact people? And on that question, what do you want your impact to be on this world?
Yeah. I do, like I said, I do a lot of things I do on a daily basis for my cousin, and to be able to tell that story and be like, you know, suicide's a big thing that like I don't talk a lot about, which is weird because I feel very passionate about it. But it's, I don't know, I can't really explain why I don't talk about it more. Maybe just because it's hard for me to explain, actually. I just don't. Mm-hmm. But I do want to be able to help people in that regard. Like I like making people happy. I do. When people hit a new PR and they're just like stoked about it, or they lose weight and they're happier. I like making people really happy. And that's where it all stemmed from. You know, it was like, I became a CrossFit coach because the guy who owned the gym, Will's older brother, Tommy, who was very impactful in my life. He just saw that I liked helping members. I was just in the gym being a member, helping other members do things just out of the kindness of my heart, not really even thinking about it. It was mm-hmm. just second nature. And I then started coaching and fell more in love with that process of like helping people, making them happy. And every single day, that's really my goal, is to like make people better, make people happier. That's really what I want to do for others.
Mm. You're a good dude, man.
Yeah,
you really are. I had something. This has been happening to me lately, man. There's times where I want to cut people off because the thought comes to me, and then I'm like, ah, I missed it. Oh, I know. It was very selfish. Okay, here we go. So I really want to, and again, it goes back to running now, so I'm taking you completely over here, right? So I want the 5K to be light work for me.
Okay.
I really do.
Yeah.
So I can run 1.5 miles now pretty easy. In a quick way of like, you know, how I can progress. Mm-hmm. Is this something that I should be doing daily? Should I take days off from running? Should I be sprinting? Should I be jogging? Talk to me to get me to a comfortable 5K.
Yes. Okay. Let's just put it this way. I wouldn't recommend running every day, especially because you're newer to it. Ugh. The more advanced you are with anything, the more you can do it, right? So that's why you have guys who could run twice a day, every single day. The beginner does not need to do that. The beginner, less will actually be a lot more, because when it's new, it's a bigger stress on the body, which means we need to recover from it, right? The more you do something, the less stress occurs. So that's why you can do it more and need to do it more in order to progress. So for someone like you, who's like a 5K, which is a very reasonable number, it's not a super long distance. But it is something you're going to have to run longer for. Mm-hmm. So I would have 3 days that I would recommend you run. And honestly, 2 of those days would be easy and slow. And the goal of them would be covering distance. So the goal is to just be able to run 3 miles. So you have to be able to run at least 3 miles. So mm-hmm. 1 day would be on just like progressing distance. Okay. And like being able to go 2 miles straight before you have to stop. Okay. Once you get to 2.5 miles, 3 miles, and I'd probably go a little bit further. You don't want to just get to your longest run on race day. Right. Go, especially when it's a 5K, go a little longer. So, you know, maybe it's like 30 minutes every day on Mondays, and then it becomes 35 minutes of running, 40 minutes of running. You're just increasing distance. The other day that I would recommend that you do is a day where you do focus on a little bit more speed. Okay. So maybe it could be something like you run 0.5 mile at a tough effort, and then you walk for a couple minutes, and then you repeat that for the, you know, 4, 5, or 6 rounds, really just covering at speed and then getting your heart rate really high. And if you were going to do it a third day, most people would recommend it's another slower day. Maybe you're not super concerned with the distance like you are on the first day. It's mm-hmm. just getting time under running. Mm-hmm. So that's how I would go about it.
So you really don't think that I should be doing like my 1.5 miles daily as my warm up?
No,
I'm really getting shredded.
Well, that's a different ball game we're talking about, right? Okay. We're not talking about looking a certain way. We're talking about optimizing running, right? Yeah. So, dude, I think it's great that you're doing that. But I would, instead of thinking of it as a warm up, like think of it as a training session.
All right. So are you going to I'm going to tell you my warm up. This is my everyday.
Okay.
Okay. So every day I get in the gym, I do my mobility warm up.
Great.
Which is about 7 to 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Then I do my 1.5 miles now.
Okay.
Then I do 5 sets of push-ups and pull-ups.
Yep.
So it is every day, though. Every day. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, and I'm doing 5 pull-ups, nickels and dimes. So I'm doing 5 pull-ups, 10 push-ups. Cool. 5 pull-ups, 10 push-ups. And then I'm taking a 40-pound kettlebell, and I'm doing 100 Bosu sit-ups.
Okay.
And then I do a Pat Damiano complex.
Cool.
And then probably incorporate some, like, you know, dumbbells or some movements.
Okay.
And then that's my workout.
Okay.
So do you think that my warm-up is like...
Your warm-up's a workout, for sure. Your warm-up is a workout, for sure. For a lot of people, that's a crazy workout, too.
But this is every day.
Yeah, dude. I mean...
But I don't feel great. I gotta be honest.
Well, if you don't feel great, then yeah, I was gonna say, dude, if it's working, it's working. Yeah. Don't change anything, right? Because people will tell you, oh, that's stupid or that's great.
Mm-hmm.
If it's working, and this is for anyone, keep doing it.
Okay.
Great. Now, yeah, you're not feeling great. Yeah, obviously. I mean, you're killing yourself in your warm-ups, right? So my recommendation would be like your warm-up should be something that should. The intention is to get you warm for your workout.
But that's my 7 to 9 minutes where I'm doing, you know, cat cow and yeah. I'm, you know, sitting there and I'm really getting into it.
Yeah.
But I have a problem. Tommy, I really have a problem with my mental, man. Like,
yeah.
If I don't do that warm up, I feel like I'm not even working out.
Yeah, because you built that as a habit and now it's like engraved in you. Yeah, I get that.
And
sure.
I don't mean to sound like a tough guy. Like, but I really, if I don't do it, I'm like, oh, I barely worked out today.
Yeah, that's something that has happened to me with like CrossFit is like if my heart rate wasn't beating out of my chest, I didn't feel like I did anything. And it took me a really long time to understand that like that doesn't need to be the case. Mm. It took me a really long time. So yes, so you have to just find a way to like, you know, change the mindset as to like if it's not actually making you better, then it's not actually good. Right. That's what you have to kind of tell yourself. Like, this is actually hurting me more than it's helping me. So by not doing it isn't being like soft or, you know, lazy. It's like I'm doing this so I can better myself. So like that's something I would tell yourself. But yeah, I don't think you need to run a mile and a half every day as your warm up. I think running for a little bit, like 5 minutes just to like sweat and like get the joints greased. Good idea. Really good idea. Get your heart rate elevated. That's super important in a warm up. And then do your hip mobility thing and then go like do your workout.
Okay. So as I'm coming up on my second go round with Pat, he changed me up for another 6 weeks.
Cool.
After that, let's hear it here first. Can I lock you into a 6 to 8 week programming for me?
Absolutely, bro.
Let's go, baby. Now, so hearing, and thank you for that.
Yeah.
But hearing my level of running, right?
Yeah.
I want to put it out there. I'm very scared, though.
Mm.
Is it realistic for me in 2024 to run a half marathon?
Yes, definitely.
Should I lock into that goal?
You could 100% do that by late fall.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Yeah. You would just have to do it in a much more strategic manner than you're currently doing it.
All right, put the camera on me, CB. All right, so by the end of 2024, I am committing to running a half marathon. Okay. And that's something that I would have never, ever done. And now Sean Degnan, shout out to my brother. He's going to be extremely excited because he was the one that was like, we got to do an event. I'm like, bro, how can we do an event? And I'm going to pull every muscle in my body. Like every bone is going to break as I'm running. So if you're saying that I can do it, you're going to be my coach for this.
I got you.
Let's go, baby. Bro.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. All right, man. Listen, I appreciate your time. I'm grateful for your knowledge, man. You come with a plethora of experience here. And the way that you break stuff down and you give value to people is tremendous, man. I really thank you for that. Is there something that you can leave the listeners with, whether they're, you know, at a place where they kind of are complacent or they haven't really, you know, made it over that hump yet? They really want to get somewhere. So they're either complacent or that you're not talking to the expert athlete right now.
Yeah.
You're talking to those that are on the, you know, on the fence, or they just really they want more.
Yeah.
What would be the message that you share with those
in terms
people?
Of life or fitness?
Do both.
Okay. In terms of life, what I think most people don't do right is like they don't follow what they're truly passionate about. I think they just go through the motion, do whatever everyone else in society is telling them to do, and that's why most people are unhappy. And I've seen it through a lot of people in my life. 10 times over. So I would say do what's going to make you happy, even if it's scary. Take that leap and go chase it, because that's something I did and I'm super grateful I did. In terms of fitness, you know, it's just start. I think that's the hardest thing for most people to do because of something we talked about earlier in this podcast of just like thinking of the 100 things they need to do better in order to be the person they want to be. And it's not about that. You start by doing one thing really well and then continually stacking more habits to the point where you are that person.
Mm. I love that. And I will say, so I I've been sitting down with a lot of like performance guys, high level guys in this space. and again, I did it myself for a long time, never really hired a coach until, you know, recently I've been starting to work with these guys.
Yeah.
I think it's something that people should invest in earlier than the typical person does, because you kind of get to a place, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, you almost don't want to like really put yourself out there. So you're like, yeah, I'm going to go walk on the treadmill. I'm going to do this 15, 20, 30, 45 minute workout, but it's not really effective. And when I hear you speak, when I hear Pat speak, you know, I hear Ambrosio Castellana. He's another one that I worked with for a while. You know, you guys have a very strict methodology behind this stuff with an intention to take you to point from point A to point B. And I think that's the difference. Like a lot of people can't really get from A to B by themselves, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I really believe that people should be investing in coaches like Tommy, like Pat, like Ambrosio, because it's something that is extremely important.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah. Where can everybody find you?
Yeah, you guys can catch me mainly on Instagram, Tommy_Pomatico. You know, I'm on some podcasts, Conquer Athlete. You can find that on Spotify. We do a podcast about every week if you want to hear about competitive CrossFit, which is a part of what I do along with the lifestyle. And that's really mainly where you'll catch me.
Very cool.
Yeah.
The Instagram is not Tommy Tank Tops?
No, not yet. No? It's, honestly, if I go back.
Yo, dude, I think you need to create a little brand here.
It might have been the move,
man. Dude, but you can still do that. And think about all the athletes that you have. If you just have every athlete that you work with buy one of these tank tops, bro, you're rich.
I'm out.
That's it.
I'm retiring.
The game is over, bro. Tommy, I thank you for your time, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Really. Yep. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an absolute blast, bro.
Awesome. Guys, please share the show. If you found any value in today, we ask that you send it to a friend. You can leave us a review on either YouTube, leave a comment on Instagram. Let us know. We want to engage with you. This podcast only continues to grow because of your sharing the show and word of mouth. Very grateful for you, the listener. As always, you can shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. And until next time, stop snoozing.
Get up and get after it.
Tommy Tank Top, baby.
Yeah.
That's a strong name. Thank you guys for tuning in. That's another epi in the books. You can follow us on Instagram at Los News Podcast and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Los News. Shop the latest merch at losnewsshop.com. Come on.